Good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Good, you?
Good. And what is your name?
Michelle Learning.
Who has?
Oh, I'm sorry. For some reason, I didn't realize I had two back-to-back. I have it.
Okay, the Honorable Luis Quinones is going to be the lead on your hearing this morning, okay?
They planned it that way.
Thank you, ma'am. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record, ma'am?
Michelle Louise Martin, 286036.
Thank you, ma'am. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the one alleged violation listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on June 29, 2018. And you have a look on your face, but I'm being specific to the notification of the board hearing, which you signed on June 29, 2018.
Okay.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you can hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. See no attorney with you, or you're representing yourself today, ma'am?
Correct.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. If you can see on your video conference screen, to my far left at the, to my far right at the end of the bench, is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. At the center of the bench, we have our esteemed acting board chairman, Mr. Michael Johnson. Next to me is the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for your hearing. Also in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Turner, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Okay.
Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So, Ms. Martin and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
I do.
I do.
Thank you. Ms. Martin, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision. And phase two decides if your supervision should be continued or revoked. Again, those are two separate phases. When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take further testimony from the Department of Corrections and we can talk about it. But keep in mind, the board will make the final determination whether or not you violated the conditions of your supervision. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. Martin, I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in a criminal laser company as follows. Violation of condition number two is demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report him for a face-to-face contact visit on or about February 26, 2018, as verbally directed on February 23, 2018. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you're an absconder from supervision. Ms. Martin, is this true or false?
False.
Okay. Based on your submission of false, we are going to take further information from our community corrections officer, who's going to read the allegation to us, and then we will come back to you for a few questions. Okay, ma'am?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Turner.
Yes, on 2/20/2018, CCO Witcher received a discharge letter from the conditions facility stating the offender was discharged from the conditions program on 2/18/2018 for drinking. On 2/22/2018, Cecile Butcher spoke to Tradition Facility staff member and was informed that the offender had not returned to the program. On 2/23/18, Cecile Butcher made telephone contact with the offender due to not reporting to her assigned parole officer after her discharge. The offender was then verbally directed by Cecile Butcher to report to the South Mountain Parole Office on 2/26/18 by 10 a.m. The offender acknowledged the directive and stated she would comply. The offender failed to report to the South Mountain Parole Office on 2/26/2018 as previously directed on 2/23/18. Offender's whereabouts are unknown, thus she is an absconder from supervision. follow-up number one. On 2/26/18, Cecile Butcher attempted to contact the offender at a listed phone number that she had previously provided. No answer was received and a voicemail was left for the offender to telephone her parole officer, which she has not done to date. On 2/26/18, Cecile Butcher contacted the Maricopa County Sheriff's Jail and it was verified the offender is not in their custody. On 2/26 and 2/27/18, contact was made with the offender's emergency contact person on file, Louise Benson. Ms. Benson indicated that she had not heard from the offender or would make attempts to contact persons that may know the offender's whereabouts, and if able to make contact, she'll advise the offender to contact her parole officer. Cecile Butcher was unaware of any other person to contact in regards to locating the offender's whereabouts.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Back to you, Ms. Martin. What is false about that allegation?
I had made contact with Butcher and let him know that I wasn't able to make it to a face-to-face. Some of it is true and some of it's false. The lack of where I was at with my phone, so I didn't get the message. I did not show up to the parole office, so I want to take full responsibility for not
Okay, ma'am.
Reporting what he asked.
Just for your understanding, again, I stated there are two separate phases to this hearing. So I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to separate vote to pass from phase one to phase two. And during phase two of this hearing, should we vote that way, you'll be able to speak to the board in detail. So I'm going to go ahead and make that motion and we'll come back to you shortly. Based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2018W0612, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections regarding allegation one, I move to find her delinquent as she violated the terms and conditions of her supervision and that she may have or have lapsed in criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed. Seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Mr. Johnson and Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, Ms. Martin, we're going to continue the second phase of the hearing. And as I stated, it is during this phase that the board will determine whether, well, I didn't state that, but during this phase, we will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued to revoked. But before we move on, please stand by. Mr. Turner is going to give us additional background information regarding your case. So if you just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions and you'll be able to speak to the board in detail. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Turner.
Ms. Martin was released from ABC custody on 1/8/2018 and arrested on 6/14/2018 by Peoria PD. She did receive new felony charges for possession of dangerous drug. She was returned back to ADC custody on 6/22/2018 with an adjusted CCD of 3/24/2019 with 108 abscond days. Current conviction, 2014, leaving accident, death with death or injury, 2 years and 6 months. Prior convictions, 2011, unlawful use of means of transportation, 10 months, 25 days. 2013, theft means of transportation, 2 years and 6 months. 2013, commitment B count, 5, dangerous drug violation, 2 years and 6 months. This is her third term in ADC with a CUIR score of 2.2, mental health score of 1, substance use score of 2. No STG information is noted. She has no prior terms of supervision. Disciplinary is minimum. Other arrests, 2013, drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona, unknown of the outcome. Other information, she has a GV score of G3V2, and status of charges are that the charges are still pending.
Just 1 second. Okay, Ms. Martin, I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you're released from the Department of Corrections with a pre-approved residence placement to reside at Traditions Halfway House located at 2429. West Vista Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. On February 18, 2018, you were discharged from Traditions Halfway House after you were involved in a domestic dispute with the male at your unit and were believed to be drinking alcohol. Before Traditions staff could address the issue, you left the facility and failed to return. Thus, you were discharged from the Traditions program and your whereabouts, I think from that point forward were unknown. So were you living anywhere else after you left Traditions, Ms. Martin?
Yes.
Where are you living?
In Peoria. I moved in with a friend.
It looks like that you were working at Hickman's Egg Ranch upon your release. However, it was discovered you stopped reporting to your employment, pardon me, your employment, and your current employment was unknown. So did you work someplace else after Hickman's Egg Ranch, ma'am?
I worked for Hickman's. I actually have a letter here from them. I was waiting up for housing. Because the place that I got out to was not a healthy environment to be in.
Okay. And so you're saying you worked at Hickman's the whole time that you were outside of prison?
Not the whole time, no. Okay. I ended up stopped working there towards the end.
Okay. Okay. And programming notes, it looks like that you referred to TASK for your analysis testing and placed on TASK floor code. You assigned the code line. You submitted two tests on January 31st and February 13, 2018. Both were negative, which we commend you for. You did admit to your PO. I'm sorry. You submitted to a PO directed your analysis on February 23, 2018, which you're positive for amphetamines. Then you disclosed to have recently used amphetamines, methamphetamine, pardon me. You absconded from supervision prior to any violations being addressed. So I will ask you, Ms. Martin, did you have ongoing issues with methamphetamine abuse?
Not until I was I didn't have a place of residence. And then I ended up breaking my sobriety. I actually called him and let him know that I was using it. He said, go ahead and go down to TASK and drop EOA for me. Because I called him in regards to my face-to-face and I told him that I had messed up. I used again. And he told me to go down to TASK and to drop EOA for him and come down and see him.
Well, a couple of questions, Ms. Martin. How long, or what's your history with methamphetamine? How long, when's the first time you used methamphetamine?
Like, age 13.
And have you been able to stay clean since you were returned to the Department of Corrections?
Absolutely.
How long have you been clean now?
Since I've been back.
So since the end of June?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. And how do you feel?
I feel great.
That's a good sign. Are you attending any AA or NA while you're inside Fayetteville?
Yes, I'm going to be attending NA, but it's for general population. I'm going to school and I'm working. I just want to state though too also that I was on a waiting list for the housing for Hickman's because when I was here and I just did the 5 years, it wasn't a broken up sentence. I was here for 5 years and I was released with not so many resources, kind of stressed out about what I was going to do with no family and stuff. And I went out to Hickman's because I did a well job when I worked inside and I went in front of the board and they hired me. I was on a housing list for housing, so there was no transportation issues. I was actually lifting from 23rd Avenue in Northern all the way to Tonopah every day to make it to work. I take full responsibility for everything I've done. but my living situation at that halfway house is not healthy. But I do take responsibility, and I do have a letter here from Hickman's letting me know that I've been accepted in, to live and work in their new program that they just started with the Second Chance Dwelling, LLC. They have weekly meetings on site. I don't have to have a deposit, and they take 20% of my weekly gross income for payroll deductions weekly. They said that there's an immediate spot for me upon my release date.
Well, I was going to ask you if you still had good standing with Hickman's, Hickman's.
Age.
That's always promising, and we certainly love to see people return to the community productive. I'm going to ask my, well, I don't think I've got through all of this. So you were missing for 108 days. You were living in Peoria and working at Hickman's, is that correct?
Yes.
And again, why did you decide to break off contact with your parole officer?
Well, I'm not making excuses. At first, I didn't have my phone or any of my belongings when I walked away from the halfway house. I didn't have a phone number. But that's not an excuse. I guess I could have found a resource after I had a place to stay that I could have called them. But I was nervous and scared. I called them and let them know that I had relapsed. And things just kind of started falling from there with no place to live.
And what caused the Peoria Police Department to make contact with you when you were arrested on your Absconder warrant?
I don't know. I was walking down the street.
Just walking down the street, or was it late at night, or what happened?
No, it was in the morning. I was walking down the street. It was early morning.
So a patrol officer made contact with you and ran your ID, or?
Excuse me?
A patrol officer made contact with you and ran your identification, or what happened?
She stopped me. And she asked me my name, and I gave her my name.
Mm-hmm. Okay, ma'am. Now I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. No questions from fellow board members. Ms. Martin, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing. So is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand before we go into deliberation?
Yes, I would just like if you guys would think about or maybe give me an opportunity to try a program with Hickman's. I don't have any family or anything, so I just feel like it's a really good opportunity for me to be successful and have a support team behind me. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. The board will be going into discussion. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, ma'am. Board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I certainly appreciate that Ms. Martin pursued employment when she was on the outside. It looks like that she was very aware of her income deductions and benefits. I'm not sure completely what the arrangement is with Hickman's. I don't know if they're working in tandem with the program. The part that is very hard to ignore, and I do feel for Ms. Martin, I like hearing someone wanting to return to work. is that she absconded from supervision for 108 days, in which we could not truly monitor her activity and with respect to her, because it sounds like that she has stayed clean since she's returned to the Department of Corrections. It sounds like that she's had some ongoing issues with methamphetamine, and I'm not finding her a suitable candidate for community supervision, but I am certainly open to the input of my colleagues. Therefore, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2018-W0612, a discussion with Ms. Martin, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Ms. Martin was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in accordance with your company, inasmuch as she absconded from community supervision for 108 days, in which we could not monitor her transition back to the community, and it would seem that she had some ongoing issues with methamphetamine, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Go ahead and say seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Mr. Johnson and Ms. Rittenhouse. Ms. Martin, your supervision has been revoked, and you will be released on or about March 24th, 2019. I recognize based on the 2019 date, it may sound like a long way away, but it is a matter of months. So we encourage you to take advantage of these last months, to put together a plan for your return to the community. We hope that the arrangement with Hickman's Egg Farm is still in place. Please pursue any programming that's available to you to include any in-house AA or NA, and we hope that you return to the community productive and responsible. We certainly don't want to see you before this board again. We want to see you succeed in the community. The hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place. And Ms. Martin, we'd appreciate it if you'd give the phone back to CO3. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Have a good day.
You too.